Coming up on the program, Brian Bickle's going to be here. Coming up at 4:40. A little farewell bash being held tomorrow night in his honor.
Mm-hmm. And Chicago. I heard he's keeping the pit bull rescue efforts alive here in Chicago. He and his wife were talking about that, so that's
right.
Good news.
As he leaves our, and I'm sure his, beloved Blackhawks for other pastures in the NHL. But we'll talk about all of that with him coming up. Now, President Tony Preckwinkle, Cook County Board, is standing by on the hotline. And, President, thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And I know that you're upset. Judy was just doing the story in the news that you're upset about the fact that the Senate basically it offered up. And Republican Senate offered up and then shot down in Washington I don't even know how to properly articulate what this was going to be because it seemed to be rather amorphous. But they wanted to respond to this rash of shootings and now the second most significant terror attack in America since September 11th. And 50 people dead, another 50 injured in this attack in Orlando, right? So they were going to issue some sort of gun restrictions, but then that just gets shot down automatically. I know you're upset about it, but what specifically stuck out for you?
Well, the focus of our press conference this morning, frankly, was a little different. You may know that at last week, the American Medical Association, which has had longstanding positions that support common sense gun laws, decided to define gun violence as a public health issue. So our press conference at our hospital with Dr. Jay Shannon, with our interim chief medical examiner and other staff talked about the carnage that has come not just to Orlando, but to our county in mm-hmm. the last year. We've had, as you may know, 322 people who've died as a result of gun violence so far this year. 366 homicides, 322 of them were caused by guns. And that's 50% more than last year. Last year at this time, we were at 214 gun violence death. So the American Medical Association decided that they would define gun violence as a public health crisis in this country, and that was the focus of our press conference. And I'm very grateful to the AMA for coming to this point. It's a point we've been trying to make in Cook County for a long time, that the violence that we see in our neighborhoods is a public health crisis, and we need to address it in that way.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How do we address that? I mean, what practical difference does it make in addressing it?
Well, I mean, one of the things that Dr. Jay Shannon talked about today is we don't really know about the impact of gun violence or the measures we might take that would result in lesser levels of gun violence. He talked, for example, he compared car accidents. And what's happened over time is we've had fewer and fewer deaths as a result of car accidents. And part of that is that we require seat belts. We put devices in cars that keep people from being, thrown through the windshields. And we've learned that as a result of research. But what's happened for the last 20 years is that the Center for Disease Control has been prohibited from looking into the issue of gun violence and how we might reduce it in this country. So one of the things the AMA said is that Congress should end this prohibition that it imposed 20 years ago, which keeps the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, from looking at the issue of gun violence and doing research. So, I mean, that was part of the statement that they made, as I said, as they characterize gun violence in this country as a public health crisis.
And you said, I think you said today also, President Preckwinkle, about how the NRA is behind that. You put it squarely on their shoulders that they do not want the funding for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control to look further into this issue.
It's no secret that the NRA has pushed the prohibition and fought any efforts to rescind it.
But what could, I mean, I guess more to Rose's point, too, what would come out of it? So it's not just about policing. If we actually went to study it, you would look at some of the other root causes, such as like mental illness and things like that. Is that what we're trying to find if you do get funding, if the AMA is successful in lobbying Congress and get this kind of funding?
Well, we don't know what the outcome is going to be because we haven't done the research, but I presume there would be lots of factors that would be addressed. One would be mental illness. One would be, you know, the availability of automatic weapons and what kind of consequences that has. What does the research show? Since the prohibition in 2004 against ordinary citizens owning automatic weapons, what effect has that had over
I got to step right there, though. There's a difference between automatic and semi-automatic weapons, and that's the problem, is that these prohibitions and the way that that is worded is that the weapon that was used, and I'm just going to go back to Orlando for a second here, but the weapon that was used in Orlando is a semi-automatic assault-style rifle, right? So that is legal to purchase in the United States and has been legal to purchase in the United States for quite a period of time. And then the question was, what is the difference between, like, fully automatic is not legal. Now, there are conversion kits, but you very rarely ever see fully automatic weapons used in these kinds of events. I mean, they don't really need to be used. It's a, you know, single squeeze, single shot. And in this, back to the streets of Chicago.
These weapons have a, propel bullets at a much greater velocity than ordinary handguns. So they're quite different weapons. And there are ways in which the injuries, the traumatic injuries caused by these
semi-automatic
weapons are much more traumatic, more damaging. So that's the point. But I don't want to focus on particular weapons. I want to focus on the idea of the CDC looking at the issue of gun violence and trying to figure out how it is that we can have the same reduced impact of gun violence that we've seen in automobile accidents and deaths as a result of crashes. We have, as a result of the research that we've done, there has been over time a dramatic increase in the number of deaths in auto crashes, the number of injuries in auto crashes. So why can't we do the same thing when it comes to guns?
Is that a false comparison, though? That because
I don't think it's a false comparison at all. I think we disagree on that.
Well, let me articulate why I think it's false. Because automobile deaths are primarily accidents. Right. They're unintended. What we're talking about here in gun violence is intended. So how does looking into this from, I mean, you can look at gun safety. I mean, accidental gun death, that it would probably be helpful. But if you're talking about trigger locks and creating an environment in which we now find out that people who are, you know, drunk or on drugs or are, you know, prone to violence can't actually squeeze the trigger and have it activate. I mean, that would be wonderful, but it's effectively the same amount of gun control that the NRA has been fighting the whole time. This is a political issue. This isn't about whether or not if someone is intending to go hurt somebody else. And I wouldn't even argue the mental illness is the primary reason in Chicago for that. It's, I mean, we're talking about gang violence. We're talking about all kinds of other factors that we've been struggling with for decades upon decades. I don't understand
CDC helps. I'm not going to argue with you about specific weapons because I don't think that's the point. I don't think
we're not. We're talking about whether or not
let me give you an example. In 1996, according to Jay Shannon, and he's the expert on this, I'm not, you know, a study was done about what levels of violence there are for people who have guns in their household. And what the research showed, and this was in 1996 before this prohibition went into effect. So this is the last research that the CDC sponsored. Okay. And what it showed is that if you had a gun in your house, you were more likely to die as a result of gun violence, not because somebody came in your house to rob you, but because of suicides or because of domestic issues or whatever.
Right.
So having a gun in your house makes your family more at risk rather than less. That was the point of the research. Now, that was the point at which the NRA and others advocated that we shouldn't have any more research about gun violence, because that's what the research from Boston, a Boston researcher did. So, I mean, the research showed that if you have a gun in your house, you're more likely to be the victim of gun violence. by another member of your family.
Right. Or
because
yourself.
You commit suicide with the gun.
Right.
Because you have a gun in the house and it's easy to commit suicide with a gun. It's harder to kill yourself in other ways.
Right.
So, I mean, that's important research. Basically, it's an argument against having a gun in your house. So it's not about the particular kind of gun. It's that broader kind of research that I think we need to be doing.
Right, and that, but my argument is it's not about the gun. I acknowledge your point that this is not about the gun. This is about how will that research, which by the way, and you're pointing to a research study that was done a long time ago and is still as accurate today as it was then. That I doubt that number will move. It probably gets even worse. Right, that if you have a gun in your home, that you have it does make your home more dangerous. But what does that ultimately do? Politically, where is there a will? I mean, here we had fairly moderate thoughts on, you know, there were swirling around in the Senate this week, mm-hmm. and a fairly benign set of proposals that were being marked up. And the next thing you know, it's sort of like, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, the real rubber hits the road here in legislative bodies, and we can have as much research as we want. But you're talking about research that was, again, 20 years old. Nobody did anything about it then. If we do it again, who's going to do anything about it now?
You know, change in this country sometimes comes at surprising times. And I think the more informed the citizenry is about issues like this, issues like gun violence, the more likely it is that we'll have reasonable legislation. And at some point, the body of knowledge just becomes overwhelming. And even if there is a powerful, well-funded lobbying group on the other side, like the NRA, they lose the case. I mean, I have to believe that's what happens in a democracy. So my view is the more research, the more we can do to point out to people what the really issues are in gun violence, the better off we're going to be. And let me just say, you know, you talk about gangs and gun violence. You know, large numbers of people in black and brown communities in this city have witnessed violence or have been the victims of violence. And that leads to post-traumatic stress and sometimes real issues with mental health. So the fact that somebody lives in a community in which basically is a war zone can have very detrimental effects on their mental health. And I think that contributes to more violence. I guess that would be my argument. That's something people might want to research, but that would be my view, that living in a war zone, being a victim of violence, knowing that you've lost friends, classmates to violence.
Right, no question.
That has a real impact on your mental health and may lead to more violence.
Right. That can be researched without the CDC having to get, you know, funded on a gun issue, though, too, right? I mean, I'm certain that that's a sort of...
I think the whole point is we need broad-based research on a variety of topics that might lead us to some conclusions about how we need to proceed in this country.
All right. President, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
President.
It.
Thank you very much, Rowan Anna. I'm grateful for the chance to talk to your listeners.
All right. There she goes, the president of the Cook County Board.